Pittsburgh, I love you. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cephalos, Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcephalo.com. Acelerando Music Conservatory, providing students young and old the opportunity to sharpen their talents in music, theater, and dance. Stop by the conservatory in Canonsburg or at acelerandopittsburgh.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, providing laughs nearly every night of the week, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and much, much more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud sponsor of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tonight's guest, Marlene Smith Pendleton, the divine Miss M, as she's known to friends and clients. And I think when you have been represented by a single letter of the alphabet,
it's all I need.
For my money, that is plenty to signal the presence of a strong personality. So congratulations on that. For an icebreaker today, as we always do, we take a headline from one of our fine Pittsburgh news publications. A recent headline stated that the furries seek world record for largest parade in fursuits. These are, of course, the participators in AnthroCon 2013, which has been held in Pittsburgh for the past several years. Em, what are your thoughts on this?
I love the little fuzzy animals. I really do. I think they're adorable. Kind of like being upholstered, you know.
Yes, very good. Yes. Now, you as a designer can appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So this begs the question, you know, as a designer with 40 years in the business.
Yes.
How would you upholster yourself?
Leather.
Very good.
Yes.
So if that were to translate into an animal, I guess that would be a snake? Alligator?
Cow.
A very elegant one, though, yes. We would have to say. Very good. You know, I get a kick out of them. I think it's a wonderful thing for Pittsburgh. I do think it's cruel to hold this in the summer.
Yes, absolutely.
For their sake. Just saying.
Yes, you know, yeah, I agree.
That leather will roast you. I think maybe fall would be more friendly. But I think it's wonderful here. And I don't know as if they did set that world record or not. I think we have to check up on that. But it's a ball, I mean, to have them here. I had heard stories that there were restaurants downtown having specials where you could get your dinner in a dog bowl,
yes,
or something,
yes,
like that.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what animal I would be. I have no idea. Maybe like a, I don't know, a penguin, perhaps. That would
be appropriate.
Furry, feathery, you know, but it's, yes, a fun thing about Pittsburgh. And the leather, my goodness. So have you ever had to use leather in design?
Yes, I did an office for an attorney, and he had won a case, and this particular firm awarded their attorneys by redoing their office. Hmm. He wanted everything in leather.
Wow.
So he even had a leather top on his table desk.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
That's a little kinky, maybe. I don't
know. No, it was quite attractive.
Yeah?
If you know how to do it, you can do it right.
Oh, and certainly.
Yes, of course.
I would say that you do. With all the same color, all black leather?
Oh, never. No, no. You have to have blends of colors so that it looks good.
Wow.
You don't want to do it.
So that's what happens when you get to the top. You get to have everything done in leather.
Yes.
Wow, something to aspire to. I'm looking forward to that.
I think so.
So your business, MS Designs Incorporated.
Yes.
Been in the business for 40 years.
Yes.
How did you get your start in design?
Well, I went to school, and I guess I started. My first job was with a medical supplies firm. And we redid hospitals and that type of thing. In the beginning, I did some residential as well as commercial, mm-hmm, but I always did prefer the commercial because it seems more logical. My very last residential job was kind of interesting. I of course, referrals. I'm 100% referral. And a client called me and said so-and-so had given her my name. Went to call on her. This was in Fox Chapel. Knocked on her door. She answered. Walked in, and everything was covered with plastic. And it was kind of a urine green, all the carpeting, the upholstery.
Urine green. Urine I think green. I've seen that Pantone. That, yeah.
Yes.
That is a technical term. For
yes. So and she had a velour sofa with finials, and on the finials, ropes with fringes and tassels, flocked wallpaper, gugas and chutzkis all over the place.
Now, I'm trying to picture this literally, and I don't know if it's the most offensive or the most fabulous thing I've ever seen.
Well,
I can't decide.
her comment to me is, what I need is for you to accessorize. And I looked at her, looked around at the room, and said, madam, you don't need my help. This is exactly right for you. And I left.
That's an honest designer.
Yeah.
That's a very honest designer.
And never did residential again, because it tends to be, as I said, I like logical, practical. I like design to look good for a long time. Mm. And residential is more flash in the pan, pizzazz.
Transient, yeah.
Yes,
what's in vogue with them that season. So, and I think that, you know, I would guess that designing for a company is a little more concrete than for an individual that is always in flux. So I can see why somebody like yourself might prefer that.
Mm-hmm.
It might be easier to, you know, really get into. So what is your process then when you set foot into, let's say, a business or an office that has given you a call to make it look fantastic? Where do you start?
Well, first I find out what they want to do with the room or the area. Most of my jobs are smaller. If it involves an entire floor, building, or addition, it usually requires an architect. But I do work with architects. I'm more or less a furniture specialist. I know furniture, and I recommend what's best. For their situation, I'll come up with a standard chair that can be adjusted to fit a multitude of size people. May also be available in a heavy duty model for the little more robust people. And that way, you know, it can be used throughout the facility on a task level. Leather chairs maybe for private offices. But I'll find out what the client wants to do with that specific area. I've designed wellness centers for corporations, a place for people to go and relax and just unwind, and little feeling stones, and have all of their senses aware of their surroundings. I've done nursing stations for new mothers in facilities. Actually, I probably did one of the very earliest ones when they started to get interested in accommodating their employees. As I said, whatever the client's needs are. If they're putting up workstations, I'll design a practical workstation that fits their needs. It's all very personal. It's a lot of gathering information and using my experience of years. And I just kind of have a knack for what people need. I think the reason I got into this business, I am an artist. I started actually painting portraits and painting landscapes and very much into art, and sold a lot of paintings. But I realized that there's not a lot of money in that. But I do have a very strong color sense, a good sense of design, and I was very shy when I was a little girl, and most of my time I would observe people.
Hmm.
And I can, if they ever had a game, guess what that person's going to do, I probably would win it, because I have watched so many people. They have patterns. People have natural patterns. And being aware of those patterns, I can do a layout for furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Carnegie Arts Initiative invites me to arrange their furniture for the few different shows.
Now, don't be fooled by this tablecloth. This is a Louis XVI underneath here.
Yes, I'm
okay,
sure.
Just so you know. Okay. I didn't want to be embarrassed.
Oh, that's fine silk.
Exactly. Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about the Carnegie Arts Initiative. What is your involvement with that organization?
We're trying to bring art. Actually, there is a lot of art in Carnegie, but we're trying to strengthen the art programs in Carnegie. One of our current projects is the Welcome Bridge. We have several little bridges here in Carnegie because we have the Chartiers Creek surrounding us. And we want to make the bridges more attractive and also more welcoming. So we're working with an artist to make tiles to be applied to the bridge, and we're talking about doing the different languages of the different ethnic groups in Carnegie, and having welcome in a variety of languages. Also, some of the architecture, sunflower is our Carnegie's official flower, so have some sunflowers and things that are pertinent to Carnegie.
Very good. So. I think the organization is certainly very privileged to have you working with them because you've got that design eye. Now, when you look at a city like Pittsburgh compared to other cities from a design point of view, what is it that appeals to you about Pittsburgh in particular and keeps you here?
There's a lot of beautiful architecture, and there's a lot of history, a lot of talented people. But I think the people is what I like the best about Pittsburgh.
Does Pittsburgh have a style?
Yes, absolutely. I have lived in several other cities, and I have visited many cities. My work sometimes takes me out of state. Everyone seems to be rushed, and I don't know, in Pittsburgh it's very friendly. People want to help, stop and have a conversation.
Stop and have a cocktail, cheers.
And have a cocktail. It's just, I think, a little more social in Pittsburgh. People want to share things with each other. And I especially like Carnegie because it's so quaint. Mm-hmm. It's small but close and cozy.
There's a lot going on out here in Carnegie.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of folks in the city forget about that. But you hop in your car, you're here in less than 10 minutes. And a lot of the organizations out here that I've been speaking with, I'm finding they get an awful lot of city traffic out here. So it's this wonderful little orb of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
There's so much going on out here, arts and artistically, culturally. Mm-hmm. It's becoming a nice little destination.
Great little restaurants and live theater. Yes, we have a lot going on. And one of our slogans for Carnegie is "All roads lead to Carnegie."
I like that.
Yes,
I do.
I think we have like eight. We're working on wayfinding for the community, putting in new signage. And we sat down, our committee sat down, and we determined that we had 8 or 9 entrances to Carnegie. So indeed, all roads lead to Carnegie.
I never knew that, but I guess now that I'm thinking about it, there's a couple different ways you can get here.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we talked a little bit before our interview that you've got some history with feng shui.
Feng shui.
Which is something that I've never really completely understood. I mean, I know that it has to do with the arrangement of objects for energy, positive energy, but I don't really know much more than that.
Well, I'll give you a brief insight. I think it's Chinese, and a lot of the energy that surrounds us flows in certain ways, with like water flows. And if there's a resistance, then the energy flows around that resistance. A lot of the placement is subject to the north, south, east, and west. Mm-hmm. Certain aspects of it for different things, like an office, your desk should face east, for and your front door should face south to bring the energy. So it's a lot about water, air, how your location is to different things, and the compass.
Now, to what degree do you use feng shui in your design?
I don't know. I don't know that I specifically use feng shui as much as instinct, and maybe a little feng shui in there. Again, I go back to people's tendencies. And I think if people walk into a room and feel comfortable, again, it depends on what you want the room to be. If you walk into a room and you feel that it's a large open space, then you feel more comfortable and relaxed. So you don't want all the furniture to be right there in front of your face when you walk in. Colors, people react to different colors. There's a whole psychology of colors and how people relate to them. So I couldn't tell you where it starts and where it stops. It's just a matter of a combination of instincts and knowledge and practice.
Now, aside from that urine green home that you mentioned earlier,
could be nice with the right accessories.
Different strokes for different folks, right. You know. Aside from that, what do you feel in your illustrious 40-year career has been one of the most challenging design projects that you've had to undertake?
Oh gosh, I don't know. oh, I had one client who wanted their color scheme to be the color scheme of the Steelers, black and gold. I did.
That's Pittsburgh for you.
I did it, and it actually turned out very well. What I did is I toned down the blacks to be more of a char gray, and toned down the golds to be more of a manila color, and then worked with those, and we accessorized with some Steeler things.
And this was an office?
Yes, yes.
Very good.
And we warmed it with wood, so.
So when you've got to hunt for these objects, you know, say, whether it be Steelers memorabilia or, you know, an oak desk or something like that, where do you go to find these things?
You mean for accessories?
Yes.
I just look around.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just go to different little shops, and I kind of know where certain, if I know what I want it to look like, I know where to go for that specific thing. It's like somewhere in the back of my brain. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can always come to the gallery and get some fine artwork here.
Absolutely. Third Street Gallery in Carnegie, that's correct too. So, and I think just by listening to what you're saying, what really sets you apart from other designers is your unique perspective on things.
Yes.
The way that you approach a client's energy, the way that you approach the energy of that space.
Right.
I would guess that there's a lot of time spent getting to know that client and looking into, you know, down the road what's going to work for them in that space.
Exactly. You want it to have a good look for a long time so that they don't have to keep replacing pieces, and it saves money in the long run.
And we spoke earlier before the interview about the importance of your client relationships to you, and again, listening to what you're saying, I think that that's, you know, crucial in everything that you do.
I spend their money as if it were my money, so I get them the best bargains that I can get, the best quality for the money, and or as they say, the best biggest bang for the buck. And also, because I am associated with the design, I want it to look beautiful. So the end results is my clients are happy, and they keep calling me back.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's a nice thing.
Well, Pittsburgh's glad to have you. I think you've made it beautiful in so many ways, and certainly doing a lot for Carnegie here. So we thank you for chatting with us tonight here on Berg Vivant, and we'll look forward to seeing all of your future projects as well. The Divine Miss M here on Berg Vivant. In closing, once again, would like to thank our sponsors and strategic partners, Cefalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Accelerando Music Conservatory in Canonsburg, Arcade Comedy Theater, downtown Pittsburgh. Like them on Facebook, find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. And Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through creative initiative, arts initiative programming. This is Brian Edwards saying goodnight, and thank you for listening to Berg Vivant.